Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. We got invite number 3. We're going to do another invite sermon next week. I'm looking forward to next week. It's going to be good. But next week, we're also going to have we're going to minister to people. We're going to anoint people with oil and lay hands on them. I've had a few requests from some people in some transitions and people with other issues that they asked that they could be prayed for and oil and anointed. And I said, you know what, let's do it. Let's do it on Sunday, and let's make that a big part of the service. Let's just loose the anointing all over the place. Bless them. What? Why not? Let's give her a go. Hey, let's get her done. So come expecting. We're going to do some wonderful things and experience God's presence in a fresh way. But you got good stuff coming right now. Right now. Now, last couple weeks we've been talking and been laying out this whole invite concept. What's that all about? Pastor's just trying to get us to fill these chairs with bodies. That's what he's doing. You know, God does that. I'm just trying to get you engaged in what God wants you to do, to share your story and to share what God's done in your life with others, because people need to hear what God's doing in your life. You shouldn't have just enough for yourself just to get you by. You should be living out of that overflow where people are being touched all around you. Can I get an amen? Thank you. Our vision statement, transforming lives to impact their world. That's what it's all about with us, transforming lives to impact their world. How you doing back there? Who's running my slides for me? Hit me with a slide there. Bing, bang. There you go. See, vision statement. Awesome. Transforming lives to impact their world. Their world. There is a pronoun. That means that we're talking about you. We're talking about a church where when you come, you're going to get touched. You're going to experience the transforming power of God on you, body, soul, and spirit. You'll never be the same, ever. You're going to go into increasing levels of God's glory and goodness on your life. You're just going to go from saturation to more to just unprecedented overflow, where all you can think about is others. Because you're going to get so wrecked and so powerfully touched by God that you want your whole world, your whole sphere of influence to be affected by God. So we talked about then identifying your sphere. Identify your sphere. So here we are right here. Identify your sphere. So you got your people, your place, your passion. We talked about that. Everybody's got people. You got people. How many know you got people? You got people all around you. You got to be aware. You got people. You got places. God's put you in a place. No, I wanted to be. No, God says, I have put you in a place. God puts you in a place. And then you know what? God's given you passions. Some of you like playing darts. Some like playing lawn darts. Some like swimming. Some like jumping. Some like watching college football. I'm going to the first Monday night football game in Detroit on the 8th of September. Woo! You know what? It's okay that you have passions. Like sometimes people go, don't have any other passions. You know, just pray all day long. That's all. You know, God gave you passions to put you in connection with people, to put you out there and to put you in a world. So your sphere is defined by you got people, you got place, you got passion. Then we talked about impacting your sphere, and you do that with your manner, your moments, and your message. Your manner, you live it out. You're living it out, your manner. I mean, people are just going to take me to your leader. I mean, what's going on? Your life is amazing. And then there's moments, there's divine moments where God sets you up and you realize this is one of those moments. And you realize God has set you in a place to encounter with somebody God's goodness, and you're giving it away. And you can do that because you know your message. And what's your message? You got a testimony. How many got a testimony? How many did God ever do anything good for you? Well, that's worth telling other people about. And that's all you got to do. You don't have to preach a sermon, or you don't have to define the incarnation, and you don't have to define the Trinity. Here is the Trinity. Here's the mystery of it. You don't have to unpack that. You just got to say, God touched my life. He is really in my life. He changed my life. He healed me, touched me, moved. Bang, that's all you got to say. If they ask you, what about the Trinity? Go, I don't know, but I know he touched my life. Hello. All right, so we talked about all that stuff right there. So then we were talking last week about the process. We talked about followers fish and worshipers witness. And Mark 16:15, Jesus said to his followers, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. Go everywhere in the world. Say go. Turn to your neighbor, say go. How many know that's, we call it the Great Commission. That's what Jesus said. You know what, after doing all of this, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go. Not right now, Chris. Don't want you to go, Chris. Oh, I want you to go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everyone. So who's a candidate? Everyone. And where should you be telling them? Everywhere. So it's good. Followers fish and worshipers witness. Amen. So you're called to impact your world. And the process we went through, we talked about you need to be aware, you need to share, you need prayer, and then you need to care. Amen. So we talked about all that last week. You can listen to it. Go to the website and you can get caught up. 1 Corinthians 3:5-8 says, each of us did the work the Lord gave us to do. I love that. Paul said, each of us did the work the Lord gave us to do. You know, you only have to do what God asks you to do. You only have to do what God asks you to do. That's all you have to do. You don't do anything else, just that. And that's it. That's all. That's all you got to do. He said, each of us did it. He said, I planted seeds in your heart. Apollos watered, but God made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. Amen. God makes the seed grow. And the seed is the word of God. And when you get the word of God out and you tell people, and it doesn't have to say John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, and that's good. You can do that. But you just got to share your story. Let the word of God, your word, that living word flow out of you. And that word will touch people's lives. That word, God will make it grow. The one who plants, the one who waters works together for the same purpose. Both will be rewarded. Both will be rewarded. There's rewards in this program, folks. Some people are going to shine brighter for all eternity than others. That's true. I thought everybody got the same thing. No, but that's another series. But each of us get rewarded for what we do. The one who plants, the one who waters, the same. And both will be rewarded for their, say their. Not for the other guy's work, not for Bob's work, Fred's work. And you know what? Only what you've been asked to do. Not what everybody else was asked to do, just what you were asked to do. As long as you're doing what you were asked to do, there's great reward in that. It says they are rewarded for their, listen to that, love that, say hard work. Oh, is this hard work? I thought this was a grace church. It is. Grace makes you get busy. I've been touched by grace. Hallelujah. Well, get moving then. Because you should be so happy, so set free that you can't wait to tell everybody all about it. Whoa. All right. Okay. Another, I'm going to give you a picture here. All right. 7 Mountain Strategy. How many have heard the 7 Mountain Strategy? You've heard that before. It's been kicked around. How many have never heard the 7 Mountain Strategy? Really? All right. Well, that's interesting. Let me read you this. You ready? 1975, Bill Bright, he's the founder of Campus Crusade. He's passed away now. And Lauren Cunningham, founder of Youth with a Mission. Two guys, Campus Crusade, Youth with a Mission. And these two guys living in Colorado at the same time called each other and said, hey, I need to have lunch with you. And they said, you know what? I wanted to call you too. I need to meet with you. And so 1975, they met together. And he says, I want to share with you what God dropped on my heart. And I think it's significant. So they both pulled out like little drawings and little things that they'd written down. And when they looked at it, they both wrote down the exact same thing. They were both given this 7 Mountain Strategy. And they felt God had told them that there are 7 basic molders of culture. And 7 basic things that influence culture. And God wants us to be involved in each of those areas. And God wants the body of Christ to not just be the church and outside of these areas, but God wants to take the kingdom and the life of the kingdom into every one of these molders of culture. And so they both shared that with each other, and they, wow, and they started to talk about that and speak about that to other ministries and other friends. And then the amazing thing is at the same time, Francis Schaeffer, a great apologist, Francis Schaeffer's passed away now, but Francis Schaeffer, living in Europe, got the same revelation. And he wrote the same thing down, the exact same thing about these 7 molders of culture, 7 pillars that really influence and shape how a culture develops and how a culture moves. And he said, we've got to get involved in that. Now, in the last 5-10 years, several other people have picked up on this again, and they've developed this whole thing again, and people have been doing whole seminars and teachings on how to get yourself in these aspects and the shapes of culture. So the 7 of them are, if you can see them there. It's business, government, family, religion, media. What's that other one? It's kind of blurry. Education, thank you. Is it blurry or is that my eyes? And is that entertainment on the end? Arts and entertainment. So these are the seven mountains that they kind of thought about. And they thought these seven mountains, we can tip the scale of influence. We can touch the world. If the church would actually on purpose be in these realms and in these areas of influence, we could do something. So what I want to talk to you today, we've talked about you personally, how you are used by God in your world, your people, you know, your passion, your in the places where you are, God uses you. But you know, the church is also in a corporate ministry. There's something beyond just you and you personally affecting your world. Together, the church, and together with the church globally, we are literally being used by God. The church is the vehicle to bring everything under his headship. So I want to talk to you about the macro vision. We've talked about the specific and some practical things on the micro vision for your life. But I want to talk a little bit about the bigger picture. And I want to talk about how we as people, God wants to use us to invade these shapers of culture. Now for me, it's not like we've got to go and insist that government falls under the Bible. We've got to go and we've got to fight with everybody and we've got to stand up for our rights. For me, I would rather see it this way, that we must be involved in all of these realms of culture to serve. You know, if you took one of those mountains and said it's a vehicle or it's a place of influence, I mean, a sidewalk is a medium. It's something that stuff travels on. And in these mountains, there are influence, there are thoughts, there are ideas, there are things that are traveled and propagated in these realms. But you know, a sidewalk, things, you know, evil stuff goes up the sidewalk, good stuff goes up the sidewalk, but the sidewalk's not good or bad. It's just a sidewalk. It's just concrete. Well, some are bad. I mean, how many been down a bad sidewalk? Oh, that was a bad sidewalk. But you know, it's just a vehicle. Like, our roads are just areas where we can travel. These are pillars. These are our shapers. These are molders. But you see, you can do something wonderful within that. We should never, as believers, withdraw from arts and culture. We should never withdraw from business. We should never pull out of any of these molders. We should be in there on purpose, and we should be in there because we really have the best ideas. We can make the best movies. Did you know the MVP of the NBA this year was Kevin Durant? Do you know what Kevin Durant is? He's a God-fearing believer. He loves Jesus. And when he got his MVP, he thanked his mom. Thank God. Thanked his mom that she was in his life and that God's faithful. He gives his testimony all the time, but it's Jesus. He's what's important in my life. And there in that realm, he hasn't withdrawn. I don't want to be a basketball player. I just want to stay at home and pray. Ooh-da-da-da-ba-ba. Oh, you see, he's on the basketball court going, ooh-da-da-da-ba. Wasn't that awesome? You know, and you've got gifts and callings and abilities. We got teachers in the room. We got lawyers in the room. We got people. How many belong to a political party? Don't be afraid now. It's all right. How many belong to a political party? Why don't you belong to a political party? How many belong to the right political party? Not the right, the left. You know, we are, my wife and I are involved in a political party. Sometimes it annoys me at the way they want to do things, drives me crazy. But we're in there. We're there. We've got a voice there. We're there on purpose. And we can't say that, you know, well, you know, we got to pray for government. I mean, we need godly government. Well, you can't have all of that if you're not in the show, if you're in the game, if you're there participating. We can't have a voice if people aren't there. You know what? If you're there and you're bringing the most amazing ideas and creative things and sharing and giving input, it's amazing how often they call us and ask us for feedback and ask us, or what do you think? They called me and said, what did you think of the last provincial election? And I happened to belong to one party that didn't do so well. And they said, how did you like our campaign? And they said, well, let me tell you. You see, I couldn't tell them. I couldn't say anything. But I'm in the game. I'm in. I'm in there somewhere. And I'm giving influence. And I'm asking God, what are we going to do here? How do we do that? But you can't do any of that stuff if you're not somewhere engaged in the process. Because there's a bigger picture. As a corporate body, you got to use your gifts and your callings. And as a church, you see, we can impact our world. Not just a little bit at a time. I mean, I read something the other day, and some people don't like this because it's dominion theology. They want to take over. And I said, of course we do. That's why Jesus said, go and disciple the nations. I mean, what part of that don't you get? Like, disciple the nations. Bring the nations under discipleship and bring them. But the only way we can do that is not by trying to dominate them with, you know, we believe this, you're all evil, and waving placards. We do it through love, and we do it through service, and we do it by being involved and being the best we can be. How many are following me right now, tracking with me right now? All right. I got to go fast. I got to go. Reformation. It's about reformation. Reformation is the improvement or amendment of what is wrong or corrupt or unsatisfactory. We need a reformation. Don't we need a reformation? A reformation. And then there's a revolution. I don't know if we need a revolution, but a love revolution maybe. Say love revolution. That's really what's important. But a revolution is an overthrow or repudiation and thorough replacement of an established government or political system by the people governed, usually suddenly. How many know we could have some suddenlies? How many know in the Word of God there were some suddenlies? How many know God showed up suddenly and things were shifted and things were changed? You know, we have a responsibility to influence our culture. We're not just kind of, I'm saved, I might share with a few people, but then God, get me out of here before it gets ugly. No, we are here to influence. We are here to have an impact. And there is that micro, your life, how it works out every day with you. But on the global scheme, I mean, God is doing something big in the earth today. And aren't you glad that there are some really good, finally, some decent Christian movies being put out? You know, not stuff that's embarrassing, and, oh my goodness, but stuff that's it's getting good, some good stuff going on. Aren't you glad that, you know, there's some good Christian ball players, some good Christian heavy metal? I mean, yes. But you know what, here's for me, I don't like anything being called Christian. It's not a Christian movie. It's a movie. It's not Christian music. It's music. And it doesn't have to have that title. We're a Christian band. We're a band. We play incredible music, and we want it not to be just to the little Christian circle we're in. We want it to be so pleasing and so incredible to everyone. I mean, I know I don't know if Janet's here today. She's putting her house together, I think. I don't know, but Josh is putting out a Christmas album. And when he said he was putting out a Christmas album, I said, "I love Christmas albums." I said, "Can I sing on it?" He said, "I'll get back to you." But you know. You know, wants to put out the best Christmas. It's not a Christian Christmas album. It's a Christmas album. And it was recorded in Hollywood. And you know what? You use the best people. I mean, I'm not walking around. Are you a Christian engineer? I want to know, are you the best engineer? Thank you, Julie. Anyways, here we go. We do need a love revolution, but it's going to happen because God's planted you where you are. And the body of Christ and all these spheres of influence, we're not going to walk and go, we're here to take over. You're all going to hell. We're going to walk and say, we love you. I'm going to come in with incredible creative ideas. I'm going to serve the people I'm in a relationship with. And then they're going to go like, who are you? Man, you got awesome ideas, and then you can open your heart. Then Kevin Durant can say, praise Jesus, I'd be nothing without him. But he's the MVP of the NBA, using his gifts and abilities. All right, moving on, Pastor. Move on, please move on, Pastor. All right, Jesus was a reformer. John chapter 12, 46 and 47. I have come as a light into the world. Whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but I came to save the world. He came to save the world. He came to save the world. Jesus was radical. Jesus didn't come inside of the context of any, he didn't come as a radical. He didn't come as one of those guys who sat silently in a post in the desert. He didn't come in the ruling religious system. He came from outside of all of these things, and he radically confronted all of the systems, everything. He confronted everything. This guy's in a different box altogether. He's freaking us all out. He was a reformer. He came to love, and he came to serve, and he came to save, and he came to bless. Julie, amen. Amen. Say amen. All right, good. Apostle Paul, I love this. Apostle Paul was a great reformer. I love this verse. Here's what he said. In their culture, he said this. You ready? There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That was a ridiculous message. Let everybody say amen. I mean, that was a guy saying that kind of message, speaking like that, that kind of rhetoric. Oh, my goodness, who is this guy? But he was speaking something fresh, something new, something bold, declaring the purpose and the heart of God in his culture. Amen. All right, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days." It shall come to pass. Say, it shall. It shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house, mountain again, place of influence, the authority, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. On the top of the mountains. Every other mountain eclipsing that mountain is the mountain of the Lord's house. His body, the church, that glorious vehicle is going to be the most glorious influence in the earth. The church isn't here to hide in little rooms and then wait till he gets us out the back door. Quick, Jesus is here. Let's get out the back door. Woo! No, the church is here to be the greatest influence that the world has ever seen. There's going to be a day where people don't look askance at the church. And go, oh, the church. Oh. I guess you're a Christian. You're one of those born agains. They'll go, you're a Christian. They will literally seek out believers. They will seek out people of faith. They will seek out people who have a real genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. In the last days, the church is going to be the largest and biggest influence in the whole world. And it says right here, it says all the mountains on top, it shall be exalted above all the hills and all nations shall flow to it. That's a good word, isn't it? I am a part of the most glorious vehicle and institution ever created. It's the church. Jesus is building it, and nothing will withstand it. It will forcefully advance until it influences every part of culture, every person in culture, and every nation of the world is going to come into a living, loving, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, now this is getting, you're getting carried away now. My God, that's, you're going too far. You know, let's shove that after Jesus comes back in the millennium. Let's put that somewhere down the road, because I just look at that verse, I find it hard to believe. Look and read the context of that. It has to be before Jesus returns. Does that mean everybody's going to completely yield? No, you'll have the wheat and the tares. You'll still have that, but everybody will experience the goodness of the glory of God. It won't be something, I never knew that. I never knew the church was so glorious. I never knew it was so precious to God. I never knew that. Everybody will know and everybody will experience the goodness of God through the church. That's the big picture. That's the big picture. And you're a part of the church. And in the little picture, we talked about how it works with your life. But you got to understand that you're a part of something real, real, real big. I mean, oh boy, I'm a part of something real big. I tell you, I had no idea, but I'm a part of something real big. Settle down, I know it's exciting. Proverbs 21, verse 22, a wise man scales the city walls of the mighty, and he brings down the stronghold in which they trust. A wise man scales the city walls, brings down the stronghold in which they trust. See, there are molders, there are strongholds, there are things that are affecting culture, but the only way we're going to get at that isn't to yell at them and call them all evil. We're going to have to get in there. We're going to have to get on that sidewalk. We're going to get ourselves in that area, and we're going to demonstrate stuff that you don't need to make a movie with a pile of smut for it to be good. You don't have to be a model and be have next to nothing on to be a great model. All right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God will supernaturally breathe in and through you. When you put yourself there, he will cause you to shine and be a beacon of hope and blessing. All right, take a big word. I might have made it up. I don't know. But cosmological. Say cosmological. I love the book of Ephesians, but here's the cosmological. Here's the big picture. What is God doing? What's happening? What is God doing? Look what he's doing. He made known to Paul the mystery, and he said it's the mystery of his will. What does that mean? It was a mystery, but it's not anymore. Right? How many know there's something in my pocket? It's a mystery. It's a mystery. How many wonder now, what is in his pocket? How many don't even care? But you see, it's a mystery. But how do we make the mystery known? We pull the pocket out. Oh, there's a piece of gum for later, so when I shake your hand, it doesn't smell terrible. But what is in my pocket is no longer a mystery. So listen, it's no longer a mystery because it's been made known, the mystery of his will, according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him in view to an administration. The word administration is oikonomai, which means according to the administration, which is the household management. Let me say this, his eternal purpose has an administration. His eternal purpose has a structure. His eternal purpose has a framework. The wine has a wineskin. And they're both vitally important. He said, the administration, I made it known, it's no longer a secret. It's suitable to the fullness of times. And that is, what is the mystery? What is it? The mystery is this. The summing up of all things in Christ Jesus, things in heaven and things in earth in him. What is God up to? He's going to bring every single thing in line with the headship of Christ. There's going to be one body moving in absolute power and authority under the headship of Christ, and everything in heaven and everything in earth is going to be summed up under the headship of Jesus Christ. How many know that hasn't happened yet? And how many know he's not going to come until it does? Let me give you, there's the cosmological, there's the whole cosmological plan. We win, and we win really big. Woo! Stop, I got more to say. Easy, sit down. Okay, let me give you another word. I might have made this up too, ecclesiological. Ecclesia is church. Ecclesia is, literally, ecclesia is called out ones. Ones who've responded to the call. They've been called out. And ecclesia does mean group. It does mean a gathering of called out ones. Ecclesia is never singular. It's always plural. Well, I'm the church, man. Really? You're not, because there has to be more than one for there to be church. No, man, I'm the church. The church is not a person. The church is a corporate body. What got baptized at Pentecost was not a person. A body got baptized. Every single one of them. The Holy Ghost, the church was born, a corporate body, a vehicle for God to bring forth his purpose in the earth. So the ecclesiological manifestation of the cosmological plan of God. How many are like, my God, this sermon, you lost me? You lost me right at how you doing. I don't even know what's going on. That's all right. You may know. You may say, I don't know what's happening, but your spirit will get it. You could just tell your head, check out, you don't know what's going on. Your spirit's going to get this. Your spirit's going to go, I don't know what he's saying, but it feels good. All right, listen, in administration, there's a plan for this. The cosmological mystery, the eternal purpose of God of bringing all things under the headship of Christ, there's a administration of this. And to bring to light that which is the administration of the mystery, there's an administration of the mystery. What is the administration? The administration is, for ages, they've been hidden in God who created all things, but now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. Where? Where should it be made known? To the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. We are the vehicle that's going to cause heaven and earth to be aligned. God's going to breathe in and through us. We are the vehicle that's going to get into all these molders and shapers of culture, and we're going to be influencers in all of those realms, and we're going to bring an alignment with the headship of Jesus Christ, with his eternal purpose, and he will reign and rule in the affairs of man. Is that all right? Did I make that up, or is it right there? I mean, did I mess with anybody there? Did I misinterpret a scripture? No. It's all right there. Let me move on. Romans chapter 3, 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What happened when sin entered in? You missed the mark. What's the mark? The glory of God. God wants the glory to fill the earth. He said, as surely as I live, my glory is going to fill the earth. His glory. How's his glory going to fill the earth? Through the church. Through the church. Philippians 1, 27. Christ in you. That word you, you'll see it in a minute, is plural. It's not Christ in you. It's Christ in you. Christ in you is the hope of realizing glory. Ephesians 3:21, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations. Now listen to this. It's not a temporal purpose. It's not just until he comes back. His glory is revealed through his corporate body forever and ever. Amen. This was the purpose at the beginning. This is the purpose all the way through. This purpose is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. The church is the vehicle of his glory. It will always be the vehicle of his glory. And it was the eternal purpose of God then. It's the eternal purpose of God now. And it always will be. What are you shouting about? You know, stuff. Just shout. Just look at Colossians 1:27 a little more from the Amplified. To whom God was pleased to make known how great for the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ within and among you, the hope of realizing the glory. And that word, the Bible, the Holy Spirit, when he wrote the book, he could have used singular you, but he used plural you. And if he did that, he did it on purpose. What he means is Christ in you, plural you, you, ye, and among yourselves, you, Christ in you, is the way God's going to realize the earth flooded with the glory of God. All right, let's move on, Pastor. Come on, keep running. All right, let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, we read at offering time about this fellow named Uzziah. Now, Uzziah, when he became king, his name means my strength is God. He was raised by his father, whose name was Jehovah is Mighty. Imagine all the time going, hey, Jehovah is Mighty, can you read a book before you tuck me in? Hey, Jehovah is Mighty, are you going to get some, you know, fresh stuff for dinner tonight? Hey, Jehovah is Mighty, do you want to go play catch? Hey, Jehovah, all his time he's talking to his dad, he's saying, Jehovah is mighty. Listen, Jehovah is mighty. And then here's his mom's name. His mom's name is Jehovah is able. So all his life he grew up with the two, you know, figures in his life most important were Jehovah is mighty and Jehovah is able. Jehovah is mighty, Jehovah is able. We're going on vacation. Where are you going? I'm going with Jehovah is mighty and Jehovah is able. And he had that all of his life. But it says, when he became king, he built and he restored Judah. And I'm going to go through this quickly. All this stuff's on our webpage. You can go to the sermon. You can listen to it again. And you can read the notes because they're going to fly through. You ready? All right. Now, I'm not even going to read the text. You can read it for yourself. But in this text, we talk about the whole process of restoration. There's six main things that he did. And these are apostolic things. These are things that an apostolic church does. What do you mean apostolic? Well, that's you. You're an apostolic church. We're people who believe in headship. We believe in fivefold ministry. We believe in divine government. We believe that God can govern the church, not some board of people who are voting on what's going on. But we believe God himself. I really, you know what? Every single one of you, whether you know it or not, you trust that Jesus runs this church. How many voted on the board last year? Nobody, because we don't do that. We have eldership and things. We have a biblical plan of leadership, and we do this process. It doesn't matter what vehicle you have or what you're doing. You got to have God's anointing on it. But you know what? Jesus can run his church. And there are so many, you know, boards and big wheels and things like that that mess with stuff because people just are unwilling to trust that Jesus really can run his church, and he will. He's going to have it that way anyway. So there's a whole restoration process here with this guy named Uzziah. How are you? All right, come on. All right, seven places. First of all, he restored the borders. Say, restored the borders. All right, restored the borders. Give me another slide. There it is. He restored the borders. Now, there's seven key places that he repossessed. And what's interesting for me is that these seven places, they actually coincide with these seven molders and shapers of culture that Lauren Cunningham and Bill Bright and Francis Schaeffer got that revelation from God about. Right here in this passage, Uzziah, who was like an apostolic manifestation, something that we see in history that can show us this pattern, he shows us that there's a restoration apostolically in these areas. And the first thing he restored was Elath. And Elath was a town that was a port town. It was a town of incredible influence. It's a town where trade and finance went through. And the first thing that he did is he went and he restored that place. He restored financial prosperity. He restored that realm and that influence to the people of God. And you see, God's doing that today. He's going to put us in places where there's believers in business that aren't just doing natural business, but are willing to literally let God supernaturally run their business and to manifest some kingdom principles and do things and live in character, not reputation. Who cares about reputation? But real, genuine character can run a business and do things and see God breathe on it. That's going to be restored to the body of Christ right now and is happening right now. And when people will do that with godly principles and things, they'll see the blessing of God on what they're doing. That has to be restored to the body of Christ. Here's another one. The next one. Gath. Gath was a seat of reason. Gath was a place of influence in the realm of education. Gath was Goliath's home. It's a place of intimidation. It's a place where they used to go and reason. They used to go and discuss things. You see, we need to be there. We need to be there. We need to have godly philosophers. We need to have godly people who know how to walk in a realm and know how to be apologists and know how to speak in that realm and to bring godly, divine, supernatural reason into those areas. Oh, you Christians, you're all stupid. I mean, if you believe in a God, oh my God. No, we need to go in there and say we're not. We're incredible people. We're reasonable people. We're people who can bring the very wisdom of God that will just blow people away. We need to be there. Number three. Jabna, place of satanic harassment. It's a place where there's influence. And I consider it like the realm of the media. It means built by the powerful, but it's built to twist. How many of you know the media likes to give you their version? They like to give you their story. They like to kind of put their spin on it. Well, you know, we've got to get there. We've got to be there. We've got to tell the truth. We've got to speak the story. So somebody's got to get in there and the truth has to get out. Fourth one. Are you still with me? I know it's fast. Ashdod. Ashdod was a place of idolatry and prostitution. Ashdod was a place of the arts, a place of carving, a place of creativity. But you see, that realm gets dominated by the enemy, and it's just messed up. But we are constantly challenged with what a new normal is. But we've got to be in that realm. We've got to be speaking there. How many know you can walk out of a movie, you can watch a movie, and walk out of there more emotionally impacted and touched than listening to 500 of my sermons? No, that's impossible, Pastor. No, really, how many have watched the movie and just that movie so impacted you, so touched you? Watching the story, you went away just going, you know what, I want to be more kind. I want to be more generous. That really moved me. And watching the movie caught you and brought you in, and there was a message in there that really impacted you. Walked out and said, I'm going to be a better person. Nobody? How many still don't go to movies because it's unchristian? You know what, we can have, that medium is a powerful way to communicate. But you see, we've pulled back from that because we think the whole thing's messy and evil. But we need to be in the conversation. We need to be there, and we need to be spirit-led. Number five, Gerbaal is the seat of government, a place of influence. It was the realm of government. It's a place of law and philosophy, a place where people reason together. It's a place where a man exalts himself above God. We need to be in the realm of law and the realm of governing. Number six was this group is the this was a place of high deception. This was a place of religion. This was a place of spirituality. And as people in the high mountains, it says this group of people deceived many in Israel. And there's sensual ministries that deceive people and try to pull people away. There's the whole New Age spiritualism and all these things. Because people want to engage in spiritual stuff, but there's a lot of creepy stuff out there that can misguide you. But we need to be in the conversation. Number seven, there's seven. The Ammonites, they were a people of relational conflict. They were descendants of Lot's youngest son. I should have put a capital on Lot. Lot's youngest son, they always joined. Somebody comes by, where are you guys going? We're going to attack Israel. Oh, us too. Where are you guys going? We're going to attack Israel. Oh, we're going to attack too. Yes, yes. Every time somebody attacked Israel, the Ammonites said, I'm in on that. I'll attack too. Are you attacking Israel? Oh, let me come with you. I like attack. They were a people of strife. People of unbelievable strife. And you see, there's such an attack on the unit that is so paramount in culture is family and your relationships. And we got to make sure that we of all people respect family and we respect those relationships and we respect peace and harmony in those environments. All right, say amen. There's five more points. Here we go, really fast. You ready? He built watchtowers. So he didn't only restore the borders. Now, what are you talking about all that? What does that mean to me? We corporately have to be about this stuff. We corporately are called to be about these things. I don't even know what you're talking about. You've totally lost me. All of these areas we need to influence. And he, as soon as he became king, he restored all of those areas to the people of God. All right? It's important stuff. What else did he do? He built watchtowers. What does that mean? He raised up a seer prophetic anointing in the house. He raised up a seer prophetic because watchmen do this. Watchmen look out to view, to bend forward, to observe acutely, to declare the future, to keep safe, preserve, and to guard. It's one of the things he did right away. I'm going to restore the borders, but I'm going to establish watchmen because we're going to guard what we take back. Once we've got it all back, we're going to keep it, and we're going to keep it by having watchmen and seers and a prophetic anointing. What is Uzziah type of? He's a type of an apostle. What are these watchmen and seers? They're a type of the prophetic. So he had the apostolic and he had the prophetic. Next one. He refurbished the people. I love this. It says that he refreshed the people. He refurbished the people. Amen. He refreshed the people. It says he dug wells. Amen. Say wells. We need wells. We need to drink. We need fresh water. We need fresh deposits of God. You see, we need that. He provided refreshing for the people, meat, corn, wine, oil. He loved the soil. He understood how to partner with God. It's a matter of the heart. He knew how to get people into a cycle of supernatural refreshing in their lives. This is important to us corporately. Is there a test on this later? This is all very important stuff to you corporately. Next one. He released leadership. It says he mustered. He mustered and he organized. He said the scribe, the ruler, the officer, the teacher, the pastor, the evangelist. So he didn't just have an apostolic ministry and prophetic ministry, but he had teachers, pastors, and evangelists. He made sure that the whole fivefold ministry was impacting and moving among the people. So all these people, carried away by God, was Jael. Work of God was Maaseiah. Hananiah was God is, or God has favored. And you see, those are all types of this, the fivefold ministry being released in the body of Christ. Next, he equipped the people. It says, then Uzziah prepared them. And we want to do that. That's what we do. That's why we have classes. When you become a new believer and you enter in, we put you in classes, we put you in stuff, we teach you, we help you, we train you. We want every single person to be uniquely equipped for their call in their lives. That's what you need to do. So every person equipped, every person functioning in their unique setting, that's apostolic. Every member recognized, resourced, and released in the ministry. And the next one. He fostered creativity. I love this. It says, and then there were people who made machines were invented by skillful men. Incredible things that were put up on the walls. I mean, weapons, literally, I think I did put it there, weapons of mass destruction. When I put it down, I thought that's what they were. They were creative people who said, if we're going to protect the place, God gave me a really good idea for how we can take these massive burning rocks and catapult them 3,000 feet. Woo! And they said, that's a great idea. And then somebody else said, I've got an idea how we can. I mean, literally, people were getting creative ideas of how to break down the enemy's strongholds and creative ways of how to do incredible stuff and manifest the power of God. Well, what has that got to do with us? We want to be a realm where there's creativity, it's encouraged, and where you know, I believe you can get blueprints out of heaven of how to impact whole segments of society. Supernatural ways that God can use you to do something in a culture. A supernatural way to get into prisons. A supernatural way to get into schools. A supernatural strategy to get involved in things. And you're in a culture, you're in a place where creative ideas, not stuff you made up, but God himself downloading on your heart creative supernatural strategies to reach a whole sphere of culture. So now we talked all about the particular you and your people, your place, your stuff. But you know, you're a part of a corporate body. And the corporate body, you really are. You doing your individual part feeds into the whole, because as you're doing your part and you're being equipped to do what God's called you to do, it feeds into the whole. And the eternal purpose is to bring the whole thing under the headship of Jesus Christ. So there you go. I thought, you know what, I gave you the personal, but today I wanted to give you the big picture. Now, sometimes it'll take me 3 days to teach that at a leadership seminar, but I knew that you're all so bright that I could give it to you in one shot. Say, thank you, Pastor. All right, are you ready? I got one more slide for you here. Doors. That's not hit the doors. That's doors. All right, doors. Now, I need our ushers. I need them if they're ready. I need you to get some stuff for me. Can you get these baskets of things for me? Maybe get some friends to help you, Harry. Couple people go help Harry out, and let's make sure we get all of these, because I want to give you some equipment today to go. On September the 7th, we're having a special day. What's it called? Doors, and it's All Out Sunday. So we know inside it's All Out Sunday. And what we're going to do with All Out Sunday is we're going to call it Doors. And with doors, what that means is door. A door is a movable, usually solid barrier for opening and closing an entranceway, which means an approach or admittance or access. You are invited to learn how to successfully navigate the most significant doors in your life. Impact Church, September 7th, new series, Doors. Doors. Say doors. So not only are we having an all-out Sunday, that means we're all out. But we're going to invite as many people as we can, because we're going to introduce people to the door. And that day we're going to talk about the door that's going to grant them access to their wildest dreams and destiny. And it's going to be awesome. And then after that, we're going to talk for several weeks about doors and talk about the different doors that are in front of you, different doors in Scripture that you need to walk through and God will lead you through. And it's going to blow your mind. So now the ushers are all going to hand you out a little bag. And inside that bag is a bunch of cards. There's at least 10 cards in all those bags. Here they come. They're walking as I speak. Look at the move. That's awesome. So everybody's going to get one. Take it. Now inside of there, I have also provided a piece of lead. There's a little piece of lead. So you can keep your cards in this little bag, and you can keep it in your pocket. Watch this. Watch. How awesome is that? Now, you see, the cards are there, and then you could be at Tim Hortons, and you'd be talking with somebody in line, and you could all of a sudden go like, you know what? Maybe I should give them a card. Maybe I couldn't, I don't even know them, but you know what? I might invite them to come to that service. And then you go, well, you know what? I don't feel led. So then you could push a little deeper and go, oh my goodness, there is a piece of lead in here. I do feel lead. And then you'll pull it out and you'll give away the card. Amen. Say amen. So there's only 10. How many know you need a lot more? How many need more than 10? We're going to have more there, but I'd like you to start with just this 10. Right here, you might, maybe there's somebody in your family you want to go, hey, look at this going on at our church. Maybe you'd like to come with me. She ain't coming. There's no way. Ask her. Doors, September 7th, All Out Sunday. What is this, Pastor? It's just a little something to put in your hands to equip you to maybe get somebody in this house that'll experience the goodness of God like you have. They'll get touched and their life will be changed forever and they'll never be the same. So just a little tool to help you. Is that okay? Hey, everybody got your bag right now? I want you to feel the lead. Feel the lead. How many got, you got the lead? Feel the lead. I feel led, Pastor. I feel led to use these cards. I feel led to not only get people here, but I'll be here. We're going to make it a big deal. And not only that, Pastor, but I feel led to be here on time. I feel led to realize that now that the service is at 10, that doesn't mean I still come at 10:30 so I can miss the announcements. I'm going to be here at 9:30 because it's so awesome. You people with kids, your kids are up already anyway, so get over it. All right. And you single folks who want to sleep in, stop it. Yes, ma'am. If you want to write it in, you can. There's the web page there is there. If they go to the web page, it'll tell them where to go. But there is no address. There's only a phone number. You know, the address it made it messy and bulky. But so you can write it down and say, do you know where that is? You can go there. You can get a map. Go to our website. Show exactly where it is. You can see our scary pastor ahead of time so you won't get freaked out before. All right. How many got that? How many think that's good? All right. Come on, stand up with me. Pastor, what were we talking about today again? We're talking about the big picture. We're talking about the fact that you're involved in something that is so incredible. You're involved in the body of Christ, which Jesus Christ himself is building, and nothing will withstand the advance of his purpose. You're involved in something great. And you're not just involved in you personally reaching your little world, but you reaching your little world is adding to the whole, and it's causing his eternal purpose to be realized in the earth. And it's glorious, and it's wonderful, and it's in the book, and I shared it all with you today. I didn't need to know that. Yes, you did. Your spirit did. And you need to know that, because you're a part of something big, wonderful, and bold. All right? Now, could I ask those who are going to minister, if just our elders and other prayer ministry team people, come on up the front here and just get ready to minister to these folks. These folks come up. You know, I had somebody in my office there the other day, and they said, I go to the altar a lot, and I get really blessed when I go to the altar and I get ministered to and God speaks to me there. He meets me there. And I don't know why everybody doesn't go to the altar more often. I said, I don't know either, because really it's a wonderful thing to get ministered to and to get touched and get blessed. So these people here, maybe you can recruit some other people from other prayer teams. Maybe you're not on this Sunday, but come on up here. People need prayer. People need to get ministered to. You need ministry. You need something. But these people are here to pray for you and minister to you. God wants to touch you and wants to meet you. It's been good to be in his house. How many know that? It's good, good. I got one other thing to do. Mira, is your daughter here? Is she? Madeline, oh, there you are. I couldn't see you. Madeline, right now. Somebody, few people put your hand on Madeline. Bless Madeline right now. Turn around, lay a hand on her. Madeline, this is Madeline's going to be going back down to California. She's going back down to Bethel, going to school again. So she's leaving on Saturday. So this is her last Sunday. We're having a special lunch on Thursday because she's just been like, this year she was like the volunteer staff of the year. Well, you know, I'm just saying that. But anyways, but we love her and we're excited about what she's doing. But this is her last Sunday with us. And Camille, it's Camille right there. Wave your hand, Camille. This Camille's moving over to Sarnia. She's her place has been shifted, and God's taking her into another sphere of influence and place. So this is Camille's last Sunday with us for this part of her journey. Who knows? But she always has a home here. You always have a home here. But somebody, come on, a couple people pray with Camille. Just lay a hand on her. We want to bless her and just love on her. And we know that we know that Maddie's coming back, and we just refuse to accept any, you know, pimple-faced boy from the States to try to marry her. We know she's coming back to Canada in Jesus' name. Isn't that right, Madeline? Amen. See that? Praise Jesus. Amen. All right. We're going to pray for them right now. Father, thank you for Madeline. What a joy it's been for her. For her. It's been a joy for us to have Madeline ministering with us. And, you know, we had a revival last week. We had almost 100 kids touched by Jesus. And that was a revival. And Madeline was such a big part of that. And we're so grateful for her ministry to the body over the summer. And we're excited about her journey. We're excited about what we're doing in and through her life. We bless her as she goes to Bethel. Just let her explode in the fullness and in the goodness of you. Just break every barrier and limitation she would ever have on her life. Let her see bigger, dream bigger, and just experience more of you than she even thought possible. So do big stuff in her in Jesus' name. Thank you for Camille. Thank you for the joy that we've had to, you know, on a couple of seasons now, experience Camille and do journey, do life together with Camille. And what a joy to experience what you're doing in her life. And so, Father, we bless Camille. We bless her. I pray, Father, that you would open a big door. I pray that the lines would fall for her in very, very pleasant places. And I pray, Lord, that you'd grant her the desires of her heart, and that we would just hear just testimonies and calls of, wow, look what Jesus did. He's so awesome. We bless her, and we bless her to prosper. We bless her to go forward and to do great things in Jesus' precious name. So, Father, thank you for today. I pray the word, this whole cosmic aspect of your church and of your body, and that we are called to impact the world. We're not called to withdraw or not be engaged. We are called to engage culture in every way and influence, Lord, for your goodness, but especially to serve it, to love it, to bless it. And so, Father, I just pray that this revelation, that it would be clear in each and every heart. And Father, right now, I pray the richest blessing over each one here. Father, bless now with your great love. Jesus, your grace, it's amazing. Let it just wrap each and every one. And Holy Ghost, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for putting me on like a garment and just breathing in and through me every day of the week, every moment I'm in. So I bless these people in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said, amen.